Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
So we're at Coffee Cats, and I'm with Michael Peterson from Red FM. How's it going?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. So maybe you could just describe what your role is at Red FM.
Sure. I'm the station manager of Red FM Calgary. I do just about everything. I hire people. I train people. I do some program directing. I coordinate a lot of events and do different planning, marketing, social media, just about everything.
What kind of events is Red FM putting on?
Well, as a radio station, we do a lot of live broadcasts at different venues, indoor and outdoor, more over the summer. Lots of broadcasts at different types of events like Canada Day and at large facilities, small facilities. We do some concerts. We do a few parades, so a pretty wide gamut of different events.
And the radio station's tag reflecting ethnic diversity, what does it mean?
We're a multicultural license. There are two stations in Calgary that have a multicultural license, so we produce programming every week in 21 languages.
So are the people that are performing at the events generally local musicians, or are they traveling internationally?
Depends. If we go to an event as a sponsor, so we're not actually producing the event ourselves, then it's case by case, I guess you could say. But when we promote our own event or a concert, that sort of thing, they tend to be from, primarily India in our case. We're a multicultural station that does 21 languages, but our main demographic that we broadcast to is South Asian, so Hindi, Punjabi, and Urdu speakers.
And when people are putting on their own events and they approach the radio station for sponsorship, how is it in Red FM's best interest to get involved?
Well, I get approached probably once a week by an organization putting on an event. In our case, we can help organizations with promotion for the most part. We always look at every event on a case-by-case basis. If they're a community-based organization and they're truly nonprofit, we usually jump on board with them right away and we try to help them out. And that's with on-air promotion, social media promotion, that sort of thing. If they're selling tickets and it's a private organization and their ultimate agenda is to make some money, then we treat it differently. We treat them more like a client.
And then would they be paying for advertising at that point?
In that case, yeah, we would charge them for advertising like we would for a bank or a doctor's office or anything else.
When you're producing your own events, how are you promoting them outside of the on-air and social media?
Well, we have a significant advantage over other promoters in town, and that is because we have a radio station that we can utilize for marketing and advertising. So, to be honest, primarily it's airtime that we use to promote our events, and it's just because we have access to it. We make a lot of posters, hang them up around town, but I'm divided about posters. They can be good and bad. They're also expensive to print. We do.
And it's hard to tell if they're effective or not.
Well, that's true. They get vandalized. They're extremely expensive. They're hard to put up. The city doesn't like it when you put them up. You have to take them down after the event, which is also a pain. So we do posters, but it's not my favorite thing. We have a run in the summer, usually July or August. We do a lot of postering for that, specifically because we want to reach outside of our listener group and try to attract runners. So, we don't have any real methodology in figuring out how many runners are listening to us. So we actually go to running stores and places where running groups meet and hang posters. So we can do posters, but again, it's not my favorite way of advertising.
Getting back to the international artists that are coming to perform, how are you, or how is the station dealing with accommodation and the visas? What kind of considerations would there be for, like, instruments, getting instruments over?
If we're the actual promoter in the city, because we get involved in concerts as a sponsor as well, but if we're actually involved in the planning and the actual production of the show itself, if it's our show, usually someone reaches out to us from another Canadian city who has started the ball rolling on getting a package deal, like a group of musicians to come, and they're looking for other cities. So in each city, generally speaking, somebody takes charge and becomes the promoter. So you deal with the promoter in the city that they're coming from, and then you deal with the promoter in the city that they're going to, and you make arrangements with transportation and hotels and that sort of thing. And again, on a case-by-case basis. The last show that we did on Friday, which you were involved with, we had the musicians and the singers fly in couple of days in advance, so it was our responsibility to pay for transportation, food, hotel, everything else. And then once we got them on their transportation out of Calgary, then it became the next promoter's responsibility.
About that show, it was quite a diverse show, like Punjab show, yeah. I was wondering how you deal with language barriers at the event with the international artists.
Well, I'm a white guy. This is a podcast, so I should say that. And I don't speak Punjabi, Hindi, or Urdu, but my staff and crew do. And everyone that I work with on a daily basis speak good English, so it's not too much of a big deal. People recognize, you know, that's probably my biggest shortcoming with working with the South Asian community, is that if you bring an artist in who truly doesn't speak English, he's not going to be able to work with me well. But there are enough people around me that it's never really an issue.
And are there any other cultural nuances that have to be considered at the event itself?
Well, I would say not too many that would be unanticipated. You know, if you were to compare putting on a concert with a Western artist and an Indian, the instrumentation obviously is different. The length of the concert can be a little longer. And there are some cliche things you have to deal with. Oftentimes, South Asian concerts start late, and you know, being non-South Asian, but so closely ingrained with the group and involved in the promotion of it, I try to make it a habit of being backstage before the show and really getting everybody going, so we get a, you know, the show started as close to the promised start time as possible, which isn't always possible, but I try to.
I've just being involved in some Red FM events, I've noticed that the timeline is very consistent. If the show does start at the right time, everything that happens thereafter is running like extremely efficiently. And there's also no lag in between the events, the course of events. The radio station's really good at like putting in stings in the music, or just having music available to play in between the sets and things like that. So I was wondering if you had a tip for someone new who's trying to follow an itinerary, what would you suggest when they're building that itinerary, or what can they expect to overcome?
That's a good question. First of all, it depends on what you're working with. If you're working with artists, you have a little less control sometimes. If an artist wants to come on late, it's hard sometimes to remedy that. If you're not working with artists, if you're working with staff in putting on a show, you have a lot more control and the ability to communicate schedules and things like that, and train people and get them ready for the event ahead of time. We have a smaller event that we put on in Airdrie couple of times a year. It's a local talent contest for musicians and singers, and yeah, that one's extremely structured, you know, minute by minute, second by second. I've been to a variety of events backstage where I'm not involved in the production, and I've seen that they're a little bit more loosey-goosey with the scheduling, and I find it just makes for a show that looks a bit sloppy. So in our case, yeah, we schedule things down to the minute. And sure, some things can run a little longer or a little shorter, but there's never a time when we're not sure what's happening next. We always have a stage manager and a stage manager assistant backstage with a schedule. So they're always taking a look at what's happening next. And then after that, well, there's something's going on. So we're lining people up, having them ready on the side of the stage, and then pushing them out as soon as it's their turn. So there's no delay.
I think that's really what it's all about when it comes to a show like that. It's like even just having the lights turn off at the right time and having them not come on until the right time.
Yeah, well, a good comm system is important so that your lighting, your audio, whoever's backstage, everybody's in communication, obviously. That's key. But I also said the assistant stage manager is crucial because that's the person you have to send down to the dressing room, to the other side of the stage, into the audience, to do all these things, to find people, to figure things out, to go see if that light is crooked, whatever. You can't just have the one stage manager, because if they're doing that and they're checking out all the little things, then all of a sudden the stage management falls.
And what about working with volunteers? Do you have any volunteer base for Red FM?
We do, and I try to use volunteers more and more for events. I find, one, there's a lot of people who are willing to volunteer, so it's great. A lot of students need volunteer hours. There are a lot of smaller jobs that I find volunteers are perfectly capable of doing, and then it's a win-win scenario. It helps me and it helps them. A common thing that we would get volunteers for is like ushering and ticket collecting at the door, that sort of thing. It's pretty easy to train somebody quickly, and when they're done, you can sign off on their volunteer hours, and everybody's pretty happy. If it's a larger event, I would say I wouldn't have volunteers unless I had somebody that I'm familiar with or I know kind of with them all the time. If you have ticketing or something like that, and you're expecting 1,000 people, I don't know that I would entrust volunteers to handle really big responsibilities unless you have somebody there kind of overseeing things.
And it's pretty clear what they get out of it too. Like aside from the school credit, there's, I imagine, a sense of satisfaction of contributing to an event and also contributing to that a community, you know, a different community.
For sure. I think the best volunteers we get are the people who actually have an interest in shows and production and that sort of thing. Like if you're just there to get your volunteer hours, totally fine, I'm happy. But when we get the occasional volunteer who starts asking questions like, oh, how does that work? Can I go backstage and have a look? And I can see they have an interest. I love that. And you can give them more responsibilities then because you know they really want to get into it and check it out. And it's a nice opportunity to pass, you know, a little bit of knowledge along and to inspire somebody, try to inspire somebody.
We've spoke a little bit about how you've done traveling in the past, and I was just wondering what your impression was of some of the cultures before you began working at Red FM, and also like your musical taste personally, if it's evolved from being involved in the radio station over time.
Well, the answer would be yes to both of those questions. It has to be. I don't think that I understood a fraction of as much of the different cultures that I work with before Red FM, although I probably thought I did. I really didn't. So, yeah, certainly, the more you work with anyone, the more you learn about them and about, you know, the history and what works and what doesn't work. And so yes, 100% to that. As far as my own taste in music goes, I love good music. It can be any genre. If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, I don't like it. I listen to Indian music maybe 30 hours a week, loosely, while I sit at my desk and work, so I'm quite familiar with it for the last 10 years, too. I love it. It's so much contemporary Indian music now is so Western sounding anyway, the blend there outside of the actual language. You could dub English vocals onto a lot of Bollywood music these days, and it would totally be hip and fly here in Canada. Do you know what I mean? It's got the same sound almost.
Generally, what was it like for the radio station to come to this market after being kind of solidified in Vancouver? And like, what has the response been like?
It's been good. When you come into a market, you have to do a lot of research ahead of time to take a look at the demographics, take a look at the numbers in each community. Also to take a look at what type of media streams are available to the different cultural groups. I mean, at when you start, you have to apply for license, and your application has to really clearly outline what you intend to do and why. And all that why is based on a lot of research. In our case in Calgary, of course, our experience has been different than Vancouver. And again, if you're talking our primary demographic, South Asians, Vancouver is probably three times larger in that community, maybe four. So in Calgary, as a station, as a multicultural radio station, we had to diversify a lot more. We do a lot more programming in languages that are not South Asian. I shouldn't say we have more languages, but we concentrate and have more, I guess, hours focused on like Arabic and Filipino and Twi and Akan and these different languages that we actually don't broadcast to in Vancouver. And again, it's just based on the demographic scenario in Calgary being different. So answer your question, it's been a good experience for sure. But again, you enter into a market. We have a particular brand and I guess something that we bring here based on our own experience, and then you make adjustments as you get going.
I find it's interesting just to think about your personal experience, like the traveling and how you were informed, and then your involvement with Red FM, and just being frankly subjected to the culture day in and day out, and then how your perception changed. And I'm interested in how that radio, like Red FM, didn't exist in Calgary before. And people, I think, have a just their own understanding of what a culture is, and without really knowing, like they make assumptions about it. And I have myself as well. Before I started doing a lot of events, I made assumptions, and then I've worked with so many different communities, and each person that I meet within the community breaks down
barriers.
Yeah, barrier after barrier after barrier. And I've been like experimenting a lot with cooking, like experimenting a lot more with the music over time. And so I guess what I'm getting at is thank you for coming here. and also I just wanted to kind of touch on what other positive influences you think that the radio station would have, or what someone who is curious about the other cultures could explore. Where can they go?
I think first and foremost, the music. It's great music. It's not necessarily what you might have grown up on if you're Canadian or from Calgary, but the music is fantastic. And for us, we cater to old school, new school, Bollywood, Punjabi. So from show to show, you can hear a totally different genre of South Asian music. And again, I'm talking our primary demographic here, not to mention the other languages that we do.
And what about funding for Red FM and cultural events? Where's the money coming from? And what can people do if they're putting on their own shows that have that's a more diverse culture, I guess?
Well, we get approached a lot about funding from different organizations, and many of these organizations are great organizations, and the events that they're proposing are in theory good and all of that. You know, as a radio station, we're not really in the business of saying, here's X amount of dollars and you can put our logo on your flyer. We always find that it's more beneficial, it's more win-win for a promoter and for us to say, okay, well, let's talk some airtime. I mean, that's kind of our currency. Perhaps we can work out an airtime deal, and again, it's case by case. If they're selling tickets, then maybe we'll look at it like a client-based relationship. If they're not, if it's nonprofit, or if the money's going to charity, then we donate so much of our airtime. I would say that, you know, as a nonprofit looking for money, if you're approaching a radio station, most likely they're going to do work for you in kind.
I guess what I was getting at, or was hoping for, would be some more governmental organizations like promoting cultural diversity on their own as well. Like, are there not grants for putting on shows if you're a minority?
You know, I know that there are, but the thing is, you know, from our perspective, we're a business, we're a company, we're a radio station, so we don't apply for grants, so I'm not that intimately familiar with where you might want to apply.
I see. It's more up to the person who would be approaching you later that would be informed about that.
That's right. And, you know, some organizations that approach us are totally dialed in, and they've applied for grants, and they have money coming in. Other ones have no idea. Again, it just depends on experience.
And what is one of your most fond memories at an event that you've been involved in?
That's a good question. You know, that probably if you're talking a large scale event, and in my case, a large scale event is maybe a few thousand people. My fondest memories are when you do all the work and showtime and it looks like everything's working and you're like, thank God. Or when they finally say good night and you look around and people aren't upset and it looked like the show worked. That's the moment where I think, okay, this was awesome. Thank God. You know, and you being a person who's involved in all aspects of live performance, sound, production, lights, you know, too, that there's a certain energy you get when it's showtime and you're like, you are turned on, you're dialed on, and you, that's it, man. And there's no mistakes. And you're, you know, there's something about that, I think, that attracts some people. And I like that, too, for sure. I mean, my background before managing a station was doing sound and production. So I kind of get where you come from when you work, when you do this stuff.
Yeah, you get that same feeling every time. It's not really butterflies, but just kind of
it's go time.
Kind of anxious, yeah. Anticipation.
For sure. It's all about planning, though. I mean, if you are careful with your planning and you don't fart around and you make sure that you call everyone that you're working with and everyone's on the same page and everyone has their schedule in advance and you get there early and you're careful about making sure you have everything you need, then it's not too bad. There's not a reason to panic. I think it's when you get sloppy or lazy, that becomes a problem.
And what about a painful memory from an event?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think starting late, I did a show about 8 years ago in Cloverdale, Surrey, and when it was supposed to be showtime, the sound guy was still setting up, and we had probably 1,000 people yelling at us, and it was fully the sound guy's fault. So we did an hour of sound check with a full audience before the show started. That was pretty painful.
Just cringing the whole time.
Yeah, we didn't work with them again.
And if you were stuck on a desert island and could only eat the same food day after day, what would that meal be?
Are you asking me to give you an Indian dish?
Not necessarily.
Well, okay, I'll give you both. If it was Indian, it would be bakra, which is goat curry, or chicken biryani. And if it was not, if it was Western, it'd probably just be a nice salmon. Simple.
And if people are looking to find out about the radio station or some of the events that are coming up, where can they go?
Check us out at redfm.ca and then click on the Calgary link. Fingers crossed, we're hoping to have a station in Edmonton in the coming year as well. So we'll be all over Western Canada. And then in a few more years, we'll spread eastward and hopefully in a short window of time, Red FM will be all over providing the same types of services that we've been providing in Western Canada for these years.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you so much for taking the time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.